Is this Jacob two times?
Yes, it is, Miguel Fuller. I'm calling you from my Bluetooth headset.
Ooh,
for the first time today, you know.
Fancy.
Wow, that is fancy, Jacob. How are you? Did you get excited about the Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did. And Miguel, I agree that on the weekends, Miguel, you should wash your clothes. Miguel, you should wash them, you know?
True.
If you missed
totally
that conversation
on, that, you know?
On our on-air show, we mentioned on if I should wash my Bucks outfit that I've been wearing. And so you said that I should, Jacob?
Yes, you should wash it. And as a matter of fact, Miguel, I think you should get your own outfit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. It's time.
It wouldn't hurt to have your own outfit. You know what I'm saying?
No, that is very true.
It wouldn't hurt to Scotty the Body. Listen, Scotty the Body, if Miguel needs you to help him wash his clothes, you know, you can help around the house, you know, you can help him like that.
I don't know. You know? I got a busy schedule these days, no. Jacob. It's hard to really help Miguel out, especially because he does laundry, I think, twice a day now.
No, Jacob, tell him he needs to help out around the house.
No.
He needs to help out around Chateau, or he needs to do a better job. Tell him, Jacob.
Listen. I know one candle that Miguel likes. He said he likes the pumpkin candle. That's what he said.
Tell him to buy me one, Jacob.
Buy him a pumpkin candle.
With what money, Jacob? You know what I get paid here? They give me rocks.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice rocks, though.
They are nice rocks. They're pebbles.
I love it. Jacob, I need you to tell everybody what podcast they're listening to.
They're listening to the award-winning Holly podcast with Miguel Fuller and Sky the Body, who needs to answer the phone when I call in.
Oh! I didn't hear that anyway. Phone's disconnected.
Okay.
Getting bad service.
Oh, boy.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee hee and my hoo hoo and my ha ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hit music.
What?
Oh, my gosh. I love our city. I love our state.
What?
Oh, good. Okay.
What now?
I was about to put something on the Miguel and Holly Instagram story for a segment we do on Thursdays to promote it.
Oh, yeah.
And hold on. Before we get into this topic, let me finish doing that real quick.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we have this big social media staff that
oh,
we work
yeah.
with.
Oh, yeah. Tons
you know?
Of people behind
it's
the scenes.
It's a whole other building of people.
It is.
It's not.
You know, I haven't had the heart to tell my wedding planner this. And I don't know if he listens to the podcast. I know he listens to the show now.
Oh.
But we're doing some. I'm going to Star Jones the wedding and sort of work with some of our clients.
Girl, do it
to get anything I can.
For free.
Absolutely.
For trade.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, for this, obviously, these are businesses that we work with that I really enjoy and that I'm like, ooh, well, if we can trade off and help promote your business, get it for free for the wedding, it's great. Well, our wedding planner, when we first start talking about one of the clients and it's a salesperson that he's talking to here, but he's like, oh, someone from your staff reached out.
He's saying this to you?
Yeah, to me. And I should have been like, oh, no. Like, they don't work for me. We are peers. They just work in a different department.
Oh.
He thinks that, like, we have, like, you know, the Miguel and Holly staff.
Sorry. I'm a little confused. I'm having a hard time following because I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. Your wedding planner thinks that we, the three of us, have a staff?
Yes, we have a staff. And he said it once, and I didn't correct him. And then, like,
he just kept it going?
That was, like, a month ago.
Oh,
and
geez.
Now he'll text and be like, well, I just heard from your staff.
You gotta put an end to this chicanery.
It's gone too long now.
I can't. Well, because, like, even one of the clients that we're working with for the wedding, one of the vendors, they, you know, they listen to the show, they know, and they were like,
can you at least, like, say, give me, like, a broad term? Because it's a little confusing to be like, I need a picture of this. Is it, like, can you just be like, a flower person, or is it too much?
Well, just, yeah, because I don't want to make anyone feel bad for saying this.
Okay.
That's why I don't want to name any specific places, because once contracts are signed, you're going to be hearing me talking about these places a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to make anyone feel bad, and I'm not making fun of them. It's
no,
just
no.
that, like, the perception of how we view ourselves and how other people view us.
Yes.
It's just really interesting, and because we've been removed from going in public and talking with people and stuff like that outside of social media, now that I'm starting that because of the wedding, it's just fascinating to hear. So one of the places that we're dealing with that'll have they'll have a product at the wedding that
okay.
we'll be using. They were like, "Do they want? Does Miguel and Abe want us to put it under a different name so no one knows that it's them that we'll be working for?"
Oh, damn!
I was like, I am flattered beyond belief.
Yes,
but you can go ahead and just put Miguel Fuller. It is fine. Ain't nobody trying to crash our wedding. It is okay.
I mean, maybe will though, Miguel. I don't know.
I might as well, you know, just act like they would. So,
but here's the
cool.
thing: like, I don't think they would for me or Scott, but I do think that like there might be some fools getting crazy with your wedding.
You know what I have been interested about with my wedding, and I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but like I enjoy weddings.
Yeah.
I enjoy them when I'm there and, yeah. like, the party. I don't like the thought of, like, going to a wedding because it's, like, it is a deal. You've got to, like, get dressed up. You've got to make plans. You got to get the present. You got to go. Is it going to be awkward if you don't know the people? Like, all those things. That's just how my mind works.
Okay.
And so I would never just volunteer to go to someone's wedding, like, outside of you, Holly, and, like, some of my best friends and you, Scott.
Like, if you know the person real well.
Right, right. But I have been surprised the amount of people that from my past have just popped up and been like, "Hey, like, I know we haven't talked, but I've known you. I'm so excited for you. I don't even have to, like, go to the reception and eat your food. I just want to be there to see you get married. Like, can I just be in the room?"
Aww.
And I've just been like, "Oh, my gosh," because I would never say that to anyone.
Oh, well, that's...
I think I'm an awful human being.
Yeah.
Like, I really, as I get older, I really sometimes think I'm just an awful human
You're
being.
You're just a
I think
bitter
that,
Betty.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that you, I don't really know. I don't really
say
know.
You.
I'm sorry. I haven't fully formulated a thought, so Ooh. Let me not just ramble. I don't really know, but there's something.
Yeah.
There's something about you.
Yeah.
I mean, but so here's the thing, like, yeah. I love people, and yeah. I love helping people, and I love, like, I was literally just telling Abe the other day, I'm like, one of the things that I cannot wait for, you know, as we get older and hopefully, you know, as we make more money, and, like, let's say we ever make it to, like, the Bobby Bones or the Elvis Duran status where, you know, we're getting paid lots and lots of money, I would find so much joy, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, going to a restaurant, you know, having a, you know, $80 brunch or something like that, and leaving like a $3,000 tip.
Like, if you had the capability,
right,
you would
right.
just be able to
and
do
And then
that
even
for
just like walking away. Like, I don't want to see the reaction, but just knowing.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a big
that.
Part of your characteristic. You're a big right. giver when it comes to like helping others out for sure.
Right. I love doing that. And like part of the Britney Spears documentary, one of the things that they talked about her and about just how smart she was and how, you know, as we in the media and society tore her down and made her to be this like, quote unquote, crazy.
Yeah, I
hate using that now, but that crazy person, blah, blah. But yeah. anyway, when she first got her like first big paycheck from her first single and album,
mm-hmm.
she went back to Kentwood, Louisiana, got, I think it was $5,000 or $10,000 out of the bank in $100 bills and just went around giving
I
out
love
money.
That. Yeah.
And it was just like, she never said like, "Hey, I'm Britney Spears. I love you." She was just like, "Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas."
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. That is what I would love to be able to do if we ever got to that point where we'd make that much money.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know I'm not a bad person.
No, I don't think, I
that's
think
not
I'm
the
not
word.
A fun person.
I don't think well. You're framing it in the right way. You are by nature an introvert.
Mm.
And I think that you play an extrovert well.
Right.
But I also tend to think, and maybe Scott notwithstanding, like, I don't know that Scott falls into this mold. I think Scott actually is an extrovert.
Yes.
But a lot of radio people are extroverted introverts,
right.
a.k.a. somebody like you who is actually introverted, maybe a little awkward or insecure, who want, craves love, craves attention, craves adoration a mm-hmm. little bit from people, but doesn't actually want to go, like, be face-to-face with those people.
Right.
It's like, it's too much for your system.
Yes.
And I think a lot of radio people fall into that mode, like mold. Like I said, I don't think Scott is that way. Because I genuinely believe, Scott, I think that you're extroverted.
Yeah.
Like, you get energy from being in large crowds. Like, when you go MC USF Games, you feed off of that.
Yes.
Whereas I would dread the leading up to it. I would do it. I would have a high in that moment because I could do it. Mm-hmm. I have the capability. But as soon as it's done, I would be depleted.
Right.
My energy level would be zero, and I would actually need to spend time in solitude to recover from that.
No, it's true. And so that's what's interesting is that I enjoy when people ask me to host award shows or ceremonies or banquets or I go give speeches. I love being on stage and being able to talk to people and communicate and make
them
laugh.
And you're good at it.
Thank you. And I love that. But it's like right after when it's that one-on-one, that's when I'm like, can I just leave? And it's not because I don't like people. It's just that I get awkward and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do.
Well, it's a thing where a lot of introverts have a hard time with small talk or mindless talk, which is basically what small talk is. You're just being kind to someone. But it actually, for me too, is exhausting.
Right.
Because it feels like you have to work harder to have those sort of fluffy, meaningless conversations. It's difficult.
Absolutely. And so that's why, you know, when I was go on first date, I would always break all the like first date rules about having those sort of deep conversations because I would always be like, can we, even when we have meetings and it's the like, how's everybody doing? What's going on? I'm just like, can we just get to the point? And it's not because I don't want to know what everyone's doing. It's just that no one's going to be like, well, I'm having a really difficult time. I'm struggling at home because I'm not getting along with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be like, oh, everything's great. Everything's We're busy. And I'm just like, I don't care because that's not what's happening to you.
That's not the truth.
But if we want to have a serious conversation and like, let's dig down deep and like, if I can be of assistance or just listening, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And so I do think that's where I struggle. Whereas Scott, I feel like you're just so great at those quick, small talk interactions.
For me, I kind of had like, I guess a lot of training for it. I don't mind it. Like I get on a high when it comes to like, if I want to entertain a room, I can entertain a room.
Yeah.
Like I just love it. And I can bounce around and I care about people and I care about their stories. But I don't like small talk. I don't like sitting down with someone and actually like just going through the, how are you? How's this? How's the dog? It's like, I will dive deep, but it's like, for me, there's no better feeling. And this is why I got into radio in the first place, is because when I was at USF and I got on a stage and I was like, here's the microphone, lead the way. Mm. And there's just been nothing that's ever gave me that same feeling. Instead, when I'm on a stage with the mic and I get to entertain thousands of people, and then I get to go down and just be that person where it's like all eyes on me.
Right.
I love that all day. And then when it comes down to like a crowd, like I could do the one-on-one stuff pretty okay. Like, I don't mind it, but I much rather have a deeper conversation instead of just like, oh, you know, let me just, well, I think they call it like a woo personality, where it's like, let me just go and like hit everyone. Bah, 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 bah. Like, no, I'd rather, you know, sit down and actually have a conversation with you a little longer.
But that's what makes you a good radio person.
Mm.
Because I think that's what distinguishes the good radio people from the people who can do this job, but they don't excel in it because they don't know how to get deep. You have to do, I mean, in this job, you honestly have to be able to do both.
Right. You got to be able to be vulnerable and expose yourself. And, you know, I've had people reach out about, you know, what we do on our show and, you know, ask, like, how can I emulate what you all do? And I'm like, honestly, outside of the mechanics, because you listen and you're like, mechanics, what the hell? Yeah. You just talk. But, like, there are certain things that we do that's very methodical and it's very thought out and very intention driven that we do with our show. But at the core of who we are, it is just being a human and being open humans. And we all are, and we expose ourselves to it. And you can't teach that. Like, it is something that you can try. But if you're not a naturally open person or great communicator, it would be very hard to do this job. But that's what I think makes us great, and what's circling back to the beginning, why I feel like the wedding planner and some of the vendors are like, do you want us to use a code name for you? Do you want us to call you Fluffy Black Bear?
Yes. Maybe you should be Fluffy Black Bear.
Fluffy Black Bear.
Because I don't know. Like, what if some... I mean, I was actually pretty shocked when you did make it known to one and all where your location and what the date is going to be. I'm like, like, especially what boggles my mind is for someone who... Back in the day before the pandemic, when we used to have events and like we'd be getting ready to host a parade, Miguel would lean over to me and be like, somebody could shoot us right now. Hey, good to see you. And I would just be like,
the worry wart.
Oh my God. Like, yeah. You are so concerned about being followed and security and safety. And then you're all over here just like, hey, here's the date. Here's the time. Here's the exact location.
Hey. Are you going to have security there? I mean, will there be like somebody like making sure like people that get in actually are invited to be in?
Yeah, I think.
There usually is security. Usually the venue.
Right.
Now yeah, that I think about it, because I was like, holy, no, there is. Actually, a lot of places will offer that to you.
And I do believe for the location we are going to be at, they will have security for this just to make sure everything is, like, on the up and up.
I mean, because I'm like, this is why I was like, Miguel put all his damn business out there like it was no big deal. What? I was really surprised.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I feel like I'm having another meeting today with the medium that I talked about on our on-air show, and I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast yet. But that was one of the things that I asked her about during our first session is this fear that I have of, like, everything, of, like, being murdered all the time. But in the same breath, I'll sit and binge a whole series, docuseries, on a serial killer.
Yeah. Well, that's related. Don't you think that's related?
It is. And I don't... Did I tell you this, Holly? I don't know if I told you this off
the air.
I don't think we had time to talk about it.
This sounds new, but I also feel like, well, of course that makes sense.
Right.
Of course it's related.
Well, and here's the thing about the medium that I'm talking to is, you know, obviously a lot of people won't believe it. And she's like, you don't have to believe it. This is just what comes to me. And I'm not predicting the future. And you do with the information which you will. And so after... we talked about, and just to give you some backstory, a friend of mine reached out and said, I have a friend who is a medium who really needs to talk to you. And she really, like, she heard your voice on the radio. She doesn't listen to your show. She wants to talk to you. So immediately I was like, she don't listen to the show, really? But she wants to talk to me.
Like, what? How'd she hear my voice if she don't listen to the show?
Right. Like, I was already skeptical. But then the mutual friend that we have, I love them. They're a great human, and I believe them, and they're credible to me. And I'm like, if you vetted this person and they've helped you deal with situations, then all right. I'm always open to anything, you know? So we met 2 weeks ago, and basically what message she needed to hear is that what I needed to hear is I am good enough, and that I always feel like Abe is too good to be true.
Mm.
And she was like, I don't think you're going to, like, run away at the altar or, you know, break off the engagement or anything. But I need you to know going into this that something, just as soon as I heard your voice when I was flipping through the radio stations, she stopped and was like, oh, my God, like, this man doesn't value himself at all. And that, so I was like, all right, if you listen to the show at all, I feel like you, I mean, even in the proposal, like, I said I will never be, I thought I would never be engaged. I would never get married. I'd be alone forever.
Yeah.
So if you listen to the show, you could put that together. So I was like, okay, I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And then as she kept going and revealing other stuff that I've never talked about, I was like, okay, well.
Well, I believe people do, I believe that
right.
whole thing.
Right.
So I was very interested to see what she had to say.
Well, another thing she said is she was like, now this can get into like the, okay, bitch, like this is crazy.
Welcome to my world.
Right. But I was here for it. I was like, girl, tell me. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And she said that she believes in past lives, that we are reincarnated in different lives. And that's how sometimes, like she said that she believes that Holly, you and I were twins in another life. And that's why we work and have relationships the way our relationship has been the way it has been is because we have been maybe twins in previous lives, but we always find a way to come back to each other in some incantation.
What? Can I just... I'm sorry, I got goosebumps for a second. Can we just take a quick jaunt down that lane?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah, please.
Because what would you... What would you do?
Oh, my favorite game. What would you do if
in a past life we were legit twins and, like, I don't know, we were like bankers? What? Just play with
okay.
me. We were like bankers or whatever, and like some trauma befell us, and then, like, you know, at the end of times, we were just like, why did we have to go this way?
Why?
And then, like, in the ether, like, when the souls are just floating around, like, in my mind, I'm picturing the movie Soul.
Yes.
Which, have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, the pre, before you go to Earth or whatever, and you're, like, bopping around as a little, like, free spirit.
Yes.
Like, in that one, we're like, we're going to do something fun with this life. So we're like, let's be radio people.
We're coming back as radio. Let's jump. Woo! But then, like, you jumped before I did. I had to wait a couple years. And then finally, I was like, I'm here.
And then, like, we didn't meet each other. And then when we finally did that one time, like, I swear to God, like, from the get-go, I just, like, thought you were the best. So, like, we meet. And then it was like, I was like, my person.
Yes!
And like, I didn't, neither one of us consciously knew it. But in the back, we were like, high five.
Yeah, we're like, found each other again.
So
from
weird.
Ohio to Georgia. Yeah.
I know, right? Okay, so anyway, I just had that just thought. Let's go back to it. Back in it. I'm sorry.
But one of the things that she talked about with the past lives is, I was like, can you tell me why I'm... And as soon as I the word scared, she was like, I'm going to say this. This may come across as crazy, but this hit me. You have been murdered in multiple previous lives.
What?
Yes.
Why does she think that? Because that's why you have such a fear of it?
That's why I have a fear and a fascination with it.
Because you really, that was my thing where I was like, it's connected. Because something that one is deeply scared of and then you want to dig more into, it can be.
Oh.
I was just doing research on this. And this is unrelated to you. This is something else in my life that eventually I'm going to be writing something for. But, there's such a thing, it's called trauma reenactment. It goes by different words, but like trauma reenactment. So like, let's say a child is abused when they're a kid.
Right.
And then they later end up in an abusive relationship.
Mm.
So if you suffer a trauma, or like you had like a sexual trauma bestowed on you, maybe you go and search out that type of porn and you don't know why you do it. Anyway, it's a very deep and widely known about psychological thing. And I just happened to be doing research on it yesterday for another purpose entirely. I never thought about it in relation to you, but that's why it makes so much sense to me that you have both a fear and a fascination with the macabre.
Right.
Like, because you are simultaneously like horrified about it, but your subconscious can't get enough of it. It's like replaying it. In an effort, and why does trauma reenactment happen? In an effort to fix it. Your brain wants to try to fix it,
right.
But that doesn't fix it. They've done studies, and they're like, humans do this. It's not disputed. Humans do this trauma reenactment thing, but it doesn't actually fix the trauma.
Wow.
What does is getting to the root cause and actually doing the healing work with like a therapist or whatever to actually process it. And then you're sort of freed of that thing. But that makes sense. And I would never have thought to bring in a past life. But like for you, and it only would, I guess, make sense if it was a past life because you weren't murdered in this life.
No.
Are you sure?
No.
You didn't probably have like a kidnapping where you were in danger of being murdered. But you still yet do have this fascination where it's like a compulsion where you do what you watch the craziest shit.
Oh, yeah.
But like, you're also scared of it.
Right.
So tell me more about what she said about this past life thing.
So she said that I'm meeting with her today and I'm like, I'm bringing a notepad so I can like write it down so I can remember exactly what she says.
Yeah.
But I remember she asked me, she was like, do you not like, and she was like, I'm going to get personal with you. Do you not like, sexually wise, to be choked? And I was like, no, actually, I don't like that at all. And she was like, that's because you were choked one time. Do you, what was the other? Gosh, I forgot another question she asked, but then it would lead to like, you don't like this because you were stabbed. And then there was also a, she asked if I've ever had a,
was it tattoos? Is that what you didn't like?
Tattoos. That's what it was. Tattoos. Yes, that's what it was. Thank you, Scott.
Got you.
Because Scott was there, or he came, like, as soon as she left the house, Scott came in, and I was like, yeah. Here's everything I remember what she just said.
Scott's like, let me get a sandwich.
Okay. That's right. That's why she asked if I had any tattoos. And she was like, you probably don't have tattoos because you were stabbed. And so the thought of the needle going into you.
Mm.
And like, that's why, like, when I can't even like watch videos of being tattooed.
Really?
People being tattooed, because it freaks me out. And I've always said I wanted to get a like made in ATL 1985 tattoo.
I remember you wanted that.
Wanted that for like over 10 years now, but I'm always like, I can't do it. There was that. And then we were talking about having. What is it called when you have been away from your parents for a long time and you, anxiety?
Abandonment?
Separation anxiety?
Separation anxiety, yes. Because I was murdered as a child.
Jesus, how many times were you murdered?
Apparently.
Okay. You're not the right person to ask this, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Right.
For those who might be also asking it in their own head.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about your soul that is reliving this trauma or has relived that same trauma so many times?
Mm.
Why? Hmm. I'm imagining that other people probably don't have to deal with being murdered in past lives that many times.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. But like, but what? So I'm curious, and now I am making a huge metaphysical jump. So right. if you don't come with me, that's fine.
I'm coming with you, but I'm going to write, because I think I remembered what she said to that question that I forgot.
Oh.
But go ahead.
My leap is, so if we already know, and it has been psychologically proven, that trauma reenactment happens, like I said, I was doing the research yesterday for this other reason in my life, but it applies to you being so interested in, like, you know, murder stuff or the dark.
Right,
whatever.
The macabre.
And you keep doing this whole thing of like, you're scared of it, but you're also looking at it. You're scared of it, but you're also looking for it. I wonder metaphysically if it exists over lifetimes.
Mm.
And so like several hundred years ago, you're murdered, you come back, you get murdered again, you come back, bitch, you get murdered again.
Right.
But it's that same thing. I'm like a little lost myself, but it's like that same type of thing where it just keeps repeating until you figure it out.
Mm.
And maybe this is the life in which you figure it out.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. She
did say that I don't have anything to fear. Like, I don't have to worry about that. Like,
that's good.
You can now, like, be at peace that, like, no one's going to come out from a bush and stab me or something like that, you know? But one of the things that she did say is that maybe one of the reasons why, and I think this is what she said, I'll have to ask for clarification today.
Yeah.
But I remember her mentioning this, is that that's one of the reasons why I'm so also understanding and warm, because I've gone through so much trauma that I don't want anyone else to go through that.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I'm just so like open and giving, and it's just like, I don't want you to experience what I've been through before. So let me embrace you and give you warmth and comfort and make you feel good, so you don't have to experience what I've experienced in the past.
Okay.
I think that's what she said. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. And ask, because it doesn't exactly answer my question as to why it happens to be particular to your soul, spirit, mm-hmm. whatever you want to say, that you had so much trauma in all these lifetimes. Why is that? I mean, is it completely circumstantial?
Right.
If we're going with this timeline, like why you?
Right. Why? Yeah. No, I literally am writing this down because I will forget. But yeah, so that was just like,
well, God, no, what, like, I can't, If we've been twins, like, I need to not have my people be murdered.
That'd be great. Yeah. If that can't could, have that happen.
If we could quit having you die horrifically in my soul, that'd be awesome.
Right. And then hopefully this is the one where it stops.
Right. Okay, it did. Did she would it? No, yeah, that's okay. Fine. It did. That's not, you're not going to be murdered.
Okay. Or maybe she was saying that made me feel better. So
I feel like we all need to meet with this woman.
Exactly. I'm saying it would
Scott's
be interesting.
Like, oh, God.
You know, like, I'm on, like, it's
no,
hard.
Yeah. Not Scott. When I said that, I meant me.
Oh. I think Scott should, too.
Does he want it?
Do you
I don't know. Well, again, like, I have an aunt that is a medium. Mm-hmm. Like, I have that in my life. So it's like, I'm not 100% on board with it. It's slowly increased upon my life, and I've slowly accepted it a little more. But I think if I was to meet with anybody, it wouldn't be like
a random.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a random. Then it just gets even harder for me to really accept it. I'd probably be with my aunt, who actually kind of knows like the things that are going on in my life.
Yeah,
because she said things to me that I'm like, oh, okay, like that. You wouldn't know to say that.
Yeah,
that brings in a whole different acceptance into this. So I wouldn't meet with somebody random. I would just go to my main source, my main homie, my aunt.
What makes you apprehensive about it?
It's just, I think it's just, you know, you just hear things over the years that there's a way to just talk to people and slowly just get them to give you stuff, and then they just feed into it, where it just slowly sounds like they know what they're talking about, but honestly, it's just, they've just either...
They're really good at being perceptive.
They're really good at just kind of talking very genuinely and just being like, oh, yeah, so you don't like tattoos, and then they're just going to come up with, that's because you were stabbed, and you're like, oh, whoa, but really, you just said you didn't like tattoos. They're just going to say that. But again, like, I'm not fully against it. It's just I do, in previous years, that's probably where I more so would have leaned. But again, I'm more accepting of it now because even the things you talked about, Miguel, I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay, I think there is something to it. I definitely don't discount any of it anymore because, again, like I said, like, my aunt has said things to me recently where I'm like, holy moly, like, you nailed that. That's not something that anybody would just know to say. So for those reasons, that's why I'm like, okay, there's probably a little something to this. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's also like, I think there's probably people that actually have it. And I think there's a lot of people that are a bunch of BSers that are just trying to get money out of you.
That's what I was going to say.
That's right. The problem.
There absolutely are people that are just there for the money.
Yes, right.
And
that's my worry.
Preying on people who want desperately to know something or feel better.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And so I totally understand that.
Right.
Because there is a reason to be skeptical because it can be so easily misused.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm interested. Going to have another conversation with her and see what else comes to light.
I think that's really fascinating. Wait, today you're doing that?
Yeah, today.
Okay.
Before we wrap up, I mentioned this article that I was laughing at the very beginning of the podcast.
Oh.
That I saw right as I was about to, like, do some stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Creative Loafing Tampa Bay just posted, can we explain this one? Porn viewing in Florida spiked by 15% after Tampa Buccaneers Super Bowl win.
That's all?
That's it?
Porn viewing in Florida spiked by 15% after the Bucs won the Super Bowl.
It's extremely excited.
That's not surprising whatsoever.
I don't get that. Why?
Because it's adrenaline. It's
so
all
your
adrenaline.
Immediate thing is to go to porn?
Yes.
You're just on a high, I guess.
Think about like if you're in it isn't it a thing where if like you're in an accident or if you're in like a crazy situation, the first thing you do is like you want to have sex with the person that you were just in this crazy thing with. Like it's a state of arousal period. Your body doesn't know the difference that it's Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl or
it's just excited.
Some hot girl's about to grind up on you.
Hello.
Like it's all the same. And that's what actually we had this conversation off air. Not on podcast, in the studio yesterday, about the guys that were like jumping on the buses and breaking
pulling
the
down
trees
and light posts.
And I'm like, that is like a basal response to be like, I'm so amped up. I want to do some chicks. Look at me break this tree, chick.
I'm a man.
Meanwhile, you had women like twerking on top of the buses with their vagina hanging out. And they're like, I'm so excited. Look and come do me. And the tree guy's like, yeah. And she's like, yeah. And then they probably would go have sex with each other. So it makes perfect sense to me why porn spiked because everyone was so heightened and aroused. They're like, what do I do with this energy?
I need to watch porn.
Yeah.
Save that. So, Scott, I mean, you were overly emotional. So were you, Holly. I mean, did you all do any, like, alone time?
Miguel, do you remember what we did after the game? We came right here.
I know.
Studio.
But, I mean, does that just go away? Or maybe in another time? I can't relate to that. And that's
over.
Why I find it interesting because I'm like, maybe my emotions just
I would
don't.
Have been so down immediately after the game if we weren't here. But then I think it carried over because we were here till 1:30 a.m.,
yeah.
Woke up, you know, like 2-3 hours later. And then it just like, I don't even think my body's caught up till now where I'm like, okay. Like, I think that heightened response, that died off when we stayed up for like 24 hours.
Yeah, I think the lack of sleep caught up to it for
I would have been so down. I would have been, absolutely. Would have loved to get it.
I think I was a little skittish.
That's
not
a
good word.
I know, I'm about to say skittish.
We had a story on Monday about like bruising in your mouth if you're doing the. And I was like, normally.
Wait, please don't ever save that image.
No,
I forgot we're doing this on video on YouTube, and it's different when you see it than when you hear it. I apologize to anybody watching this on our YouTube channel. I'm sorry. I'm used to just. I'm sorry.
Yikes.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, like normally with stories like that, and we've done like a lot of sexual stories that we all are like, and I never like get excited about it. But like in that day, on that day, and we talked about the thing in my mind, I literally then just started thinking about it. And it was like, you know, visual in my mind. And I was like, okay.
Holly's like, I wouldn't mind.
I mean, I'm not doing anything after the show.
So,
I mean, but I also think it has to play to what you like. Like you... You weren't that excited about the Super Bowl to begin with.
Right.
We came in and did the show, and you weren't that excited even after they won. You just weren't excited about it. That's not your trigger. But
right.
For a lot of people that were invested in our team, that's why it was a 15% spike. If that worked for everybody, it would have been a 100% spike.
Oh, everybody was like, I'm ready to go!
Yeah, but so that for that 15% of the region that were so amped up about that win, it translated into... I need to.
A lot of babies in, like, November? 2+?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're, like, ready to, like, get it in with somebody. Maybe they're just doing it themselves.
No, but I'm saying, like, people probably with their partner probably, like.
Oh, right. They were like.
Let's get it.
Yeah, we'll have some Super Bowl babies.
That's what I'm saying.
In 9 months. And yeah. But, yeah, and if you don't have a partner, what do you do?
Go.
Oh, God. Ew. Jeez, Louise.
That's twice now. You're about to, 3 times, you're banned. I don't know how.
All right, well, there you go. I was just super fascinated about
that. Makes that perfect sense to me.
Okay, all right. Scott, are you going to have a celebratory?
Oh, I mean, I'd love to. I don't, you know, again, it's kind of, I think the arousal of that is kind of gone.
Yeah, now.
Like, no. Let's say if I went to the boat parade today
with
a young friend.
Young Susie?
Maybe Adventurous that'd be Susie? Something cool to do after. You know what's
hard? Oh, something cool to do.
Well, you know.
No, hey, you want to go to Baskin Robbins and get some froyo? No, we're going to go.
Let's go do it. That's cool, too.
Whatever
too.
You're cool.
I think it's, like, subconsciously, though, because I don't know, like.
You want to get some queso and guac?
No, but, like, you know, like, it's very, very rare am I going to be like, nah, I'm good.
Right.
It's not a very frequent thing that I could just kind of. Shake off.
Well, you're a 24-year-old dude.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah,
it's a little different when you're older. Like, I want to all the time.
All the time?
Oh, yeah.
Most times, yes.
Oh.
But I'm tired.
Oh.
And
well, that's the root,
is what sets in, is that after, I mean, let's face it, we are sleep deprived.
Yes.
98% of the time, and then I lug myself into CrossFit every day. And so then by the time I get home, I barely eke out dinner.
Yeah.
And then when Abe and I go to bed and he's like, hey, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
I know. That's the bad thing. Like, I would probably do it more, but like when?
Right.
When do I do it? Like, that's why I know other parents that schedule it. And I'm like, I don't, but I could see how you would because like we get up so early. So I'm not doing it in the morning because the only thing
Jesus
I want to do is get out of bed, get my coffee and leave.
Right.
And then like I'm by myself in the middle of the day. So that. And
what
then,
about the weekends, y'all? Okay,
on the weekends.
Yeah. The weekends, it's fine. But then the problem happens on the weekends where maybe you have some drinks, maybe
hold back on
whatever. Then you're like, yeah, but then like after you watch like two episodes of Snowpiercer and a WandaVision, and you get in bed and you're like, I think we can we just put the meditation on and go to sleep.
Oh,
it just it sucks.
That does suck.
If you're gonna do it, we gotta do it before WandaVision.
You gotta know that. You gotta know that going into it.
I know, and that we never do because we're the worst.
Right. Because then once you eat, well, in the gay world, like once you eat, girl. It's done. I mean, you can do other stuff, but it's done. It's done.
Yeah.
So it's all about scheduling. So for us, it's usually like Friday night, too tired. Before COVID, it'd be like, we're going out to do something, an event or friends or something. So usually it's like morning time on the weekends. But then depending upon like.
Morning time usually works out really good when there's no kid at home.
This is going to sound real bad, but like sometimes in the morning, like Saturday morning, my back will be hurting from sleeping the extra hour or two in the bed.
My grandpa.
And so then I'll wake up before Abe wakes up, and then it'll be like 6 o'clock. I'll wake up on a Saturday, and then like he's asleep. I don't want to disturb him, so I'll just go in the living room and like I'll usually end up doing social media for the show that Saturday morning and watch something. And then he'll come down the stairs and it's like 8 o'clock. And then Scott's up eating drinking coffee, making eggs.
This is why you got to kick me out.
And then I'm like, well, we're not going to just do it on the couch.
No, absolutely not. No. I don't want to know. No.
Well, you've vacated the bedroom, that's your first mistake.
Yeah.
Why are you leaving the bedroom?
Well, because I can't just sit there in the bed for 2 hours until he wakes up.
You got to poke that man on the back.
Well,
hello.
I do. Like, what do you, like, you try to put yourself back to sleep for a little bit, and then you kind of toss around a little bit, and then you look at your phone for a while, and then after it's been like an acceptable amount of time, then you like roll over and you're like, hey. Like you start getting a little rubbing the arm. You can't leave the room. Once you leave the room, it's done.
I think you can go get a glass of water, maybe like freshen up a bit, and then come back.
Well, you can go
up
to the bathroom.
Right.
But you can't like go in sit on the couch.
Yeah, it's sort of like breaking the seal at that point. Yes. It's like you've left the romanticism in the room with the door closed.
You can't just get back in the bed and try to recreate that moment unless you just go potty real quick and then come back. Then it's okay. Right.
Well, I'll try that. Well, we're both going to be gone this weekend out of town.
When are you flying out?
Friday at 3.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And you're going to the ATL?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Then back on Sunday, so.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Well, that's pretty good.
All right. Well, it looks like we're going to wrap up here. Scott, what's all of your information?
Well, my Instagram or any other place you could find me on social media is at Scott Tavlin. So that's the at sign, then SC.
Wait, I have to pee. Stop.
The fuck did you just say? My name is A. Scott.
Stop it.
All right, so SCOTTAVLIN.
Yep.
We finally got an A in there.
Thank you.
Holly, what's your social media?
At Radio Holly, RadioHolly. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter.
All right. And mine is at Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. Also want to give a shout out to Lish Trixie on Apple Podcasts who left a review.
Thanks.
She said, Tampa girl as the subject line. Oh. Love this show. Listen to the radio show every morning while getting ready for work. And now listening to the podcast at work. Hey. You guys rock. So thank you. You can always leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, wherever. Please leave us a review and a rating. It really helps us out if you do that. And if you want some Miguel and Holly stickers for being a part of the Platypus Posse, just shoot me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. And if you want to see our glorious faces do this podcast and look awkward, hit up the Miguel and Holly YouTube page. We will see you next time. Hit that button, Scott. Go.
The previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.